You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. On a day and in a week and maybe for a couple of months that we are all going to remember for a very long time. I'm thinking the best way for us to frame things today, when just how different things are has now become so clear, is to do what we've done a couple of times the past couple of weeks. Macro to micro, big picture to actual people in an economy that is coming to a very sudden stop. You don't get much more big picture, of course, than the Federal Reserve on a Sunday afternoon pulling out maybe not all, but certainly a whole lot of the stops that it has. That huge cut in their short-term interest rate that you have heard about, surely another big bond buying program, echoes of the financial crisis to be sure. Also, a cut in something called the discount rate, short-term emergency loans dispensed through what is known as the discount window. Sounds a tad weedy, I know. But in reality, it is so big picture, because what we're talking about here is the Fed making some really big moves to keep credit flowing to households and businesses. Marketplace's Amy Scott gets us going with what the discount window is and why it is so important in a crisis.
Think of the discount window as a shot of WD-40. If a bank is short on cash to cover customer withdrawals or make loans, it can borrow money short term directly from the Fed.
In effect, it's kind of keeping the financial system lubricated during a stressful time.
Banking consultant Bert Ely says the problem is banks are reluctant to reach for the can. Borrowing from the Fed is usually more expensive than borrowing from other banks. And Joe Gagnon with the Peterson Institute for International Economics says that looks bad.
I mean, if a bank has to pay a higher rate to get credit, it's usually because other banks are leery of lending to it, and so it looks like it might be in trouble.
The Fed is trying to reduce that stigma by slashing the discount rate and by urging banks to use it. Anat Admati teaches finance and economics at Stanford.
If they say, well, please come, which they also did during the financial crisis, then it's like everybody's doing it and it's okay and it's legitimate.
It could help that JP Morgan Chase recently said it plans to use the discount window to help break that stigma. Gerard Cassidy, an analyst with RBC Capital Markets, says bank balance sheets are really strong right now, partly because of nervous customers.
There's been an influx of deposits for the safety of the FDIC deposit insurance. So I don't think the banks are going to be forced to go to the discount window.
But he says better to get them comfortable with the idea before there's a real emergency. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
A fair question right now, given that interest rates and bond buying and the discount window that Amy was talking about are the Fed's main tools, a good question might be, what else can the Fed do? We called up Nelly Liang. She's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, also, by the way, a former Fed official.
One that they did not take that they did in the crisis is a term auction facility.
Go on.
Which is essentially offering discount window lending, but in an auction format, which in the past was used to help reduce the stigma of borrowing from the discount window.
Amy talked about that stigma, right? The fear banks have of looking weak. But banks and their feels ain't the only financial game in town, gang.
So in the crisis, there were some facilities created to restart the credit flow of auto loans and consumer loans and all kinds of loans.
Nelly Liang now at Brookings, before that at the Fed. The thing to remember here, and Jay Powell and other members of the Board of Governors at the Fed will say this on the record, just maybe not in so many words. The thing to remember is that there's a whole nother part of the stimulus world that we are still waiting on, the Senate, of course, and the White House. We asked on Friday to send us your questions about this virus and what it's doing to the economy globally and here at home. Tweet them at me, if you would. I'm at Kai Rizdahl, K-A-I-R-Y-S-S-D-A-L. I do that because they make me spell it for you. Or there's a link you can use at marketplace.org. Here is today's first question.
Hi, this is Abby Parker calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm wondering, what would happen to the world economy if most of the U.S. economy shut down and self-quarantined for 2 weeks? What would happen to the U.S. economy after the shutdown?
Well, Abby, it's quite a question. Not unreasonable, though, given the way things are going. The truth is, I don't know exactly what would happen, but it wouldn't be good. The United States is, give or take, 23% of the entire global economy. We take that offline for 2 weeks. That is a not small fraction of economic output that just isn't there. And since, as we say all the time, this is a global economy, we just live in it, that means global disruptions to jobs and supply chains and standards of living. And then here, after a shutdown, well, there would be some pent-up demand, right? People would want and need to be economically active again, but it's not like that would start up right away. But it is kind of a sober thought experiment, really. So thanks, I guess, for the question. That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.